Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. We're having a record month, and I really appreciate that. As you know, everything is free, thanks to our great corporate partners and my organization. And I hope you'll take advantage of it and help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Lots of things there. You can subscribe to my free newsletter, my blog. You can listen to archives, including the interviews that we do today. You can go back in within an hour or so after we go off the air. You can go up and you can go to the site and listen to them in a number of different places. So I hope you'll take advantage of that. I'm excited about introducing you to a new friend. Lisa Moore is Territory Manager for IBM in Central Florida. And as you know, IBM is one of our outstanding corporate partners. We couldn't do without IBM, the great folks, some of the classiest people that I do business with. And I'm here in Disney World, and actually at Epcot, to work with IBM on a conference. And I'm going to get Lisa to tell us just a little bit about that. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you.
It's good to have you here. Tell us a little bit about what's going on today.
What's going on today is that IBM is focusing on Security Summit, specifically in their Orlando territory.
Cybersecurity?
Cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. Cybersecurity has just been an increasing issue across the nation, specifically, more or less, it's going from sole hackers and our viruses to more sophisticated crimes via the Internet.
Well, and you're speaking of the perpetrators. You know, what I try to do is just get the victims, small business owners, to realize that it's not just about locking the door anymore and turning the security system on and making sure that the motion detector works, or that the guard shows up. That's not, you know, we got to do those things. We've gotten really good at protecting our physical stuff, but our stuff has morphed, hasn't it, over the last 20 years? And our stuff is now susceptible to people who don't come through the door, right?
You're absolutely right. It's interesting. I don't know how many people can really fathom the extent of the cost that it's costing organizations today.
You got some numbers for us?
I do. It's a crime that the FBI estimated cost the U.S. organizations over $62 billion in 2000.
$62 billion.
Yeah, $62 billion. And one other fact about Orlando specifically, nearly 5,000 residents fell victim to fraud or identity theft scams in 2005.
And these are people who were folks you've heard us talk about phishing, where they try to come in through some surreptitious method. They tell you you need to, you know, they send you an email from that's allegedly from eBay or from a bank or from some company that you think is credible, and it looks pretty darn good, right?
Absolutely.
And they tell you that, you know, they're phishing. It's phishing, but it is kind of a phishing expedition too, isn't it?
It really is. It's amazing. I'll tell you, a recent survey that IBM conducted with Americans, more than three times the number of respondents thought it'd be more likely that they'd be a victim of cybercrime than a physical crime.
And so the people that you and I are going to work with today are business owners.
Correct.
These are people, typically middle-sized businesses, some smaller businesses, who need to protect their customers' information, their own information, and that sort of thing. But what you just quoted are people who, just individuals, that's the attitude of individuals. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you know, the Internet is a new, wonderful way for customers to get to us. But it's a highway. It's clearly an information highway. And now with the big pipes, which we used to call the broadband technology, the DSLs and the cable connections, with all that, that lets a lot of people into our property, into our intellectual property. It lets a lot of people in there, and some of them aren't nice people. Some of them mean us harm, don't they?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a big organization. It's a more sophisticated, organized type of crime.
Well, let's talk about some of the things. And Lou DeFalco is going to be with us a little bit. He's kind of out there where the rubber meets the road. I think he's probably one of your customers. His organization, ABC, Fine Wines and Spirits. And so he's going to be talking to us a little bit in a minute. But when you're out there calling on small businesses, what are they telling you?
What they're telling me is that what they're trying to do most is establish governance and managing risk.
Wait a minute. I thought this was technology. I thought this was all about technology. You mean this is not software and stuff? This is actually ideas?
Absolutely. It's not simply all about technology.
Now, that's a tipping point in my mind for small businesses, small and medium businesses, to get that through their head. My point is this, Lisa. They're thinking, okay, I know I got all this exposure, but golly, I've just got a proposal on what it's going to cost me to do this. And I've got to build that into my budget, et cetera, et cetera. I realize that Lisa's right when she tells me I need these things. But they've also got to think about the way the human beings in the organization think about these things, right?
Right.
And the way the organization functions. And that doesn't have anything to do with electronics or equipment or software, does it?
Absolutely. That's just a part of it.
Well, give us an idea of what that would look like.
Well, you know, one of the things that we must do as small, medium business organizations is, you know, first and foremost, you need to define your firm's information security policy. That's first and foremost.
What would that look like? Give me an example of what that might look like.
You know, you write down your firm's objectives, the standard, compliance requirements for information security.
Training for employees to make sure that they don't. When they get a phishing email, that they know what that looks like. These things are incredibly compelling, and making sure that they don't open an attachment that's not from the right person, right? You may even if you think it's from a person that you know, maybe call them back and say, "Did you send me this attachment?" Those kinds of things, right? Is that part of it?
Well, that's definitely part of it, but you know, one of the key things is to make sure that you assign responsibility for security. So what that means is appointing one person within the firm that holds accountability.
And maybe in the early days, it's a kind of an ad hoc thing. It's somebody that just gets assigned. And as the company grows, then it becomes maybe a part-time specific title and then a full-time job and that kind of thing. When we come back, I want to talk about how you incorporate cybersecurity into the growth of your company.
Very good.
Lisa Moore, ladies and gentlemen, she's going to stay with us. We'll be right back after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blastingame, broadcasting live from Disney World. Stay with us. Yeah, Lisa. Lisa likes my music.
I like it.
Welcome back, folks. It's 23 after. We're just having a great time here at the IBM conference. Give us the official name of the conference, Lisa.
It's actually called the Security Summit.
The Security Summit. It's not a conference. I stand corrected. It's a summit.
It's a summit.
But it is on cybersecurity. Primarily, we're going to have several great speakers later today. I'm looking forward to working with everybody. And Lisa, thank you guys for asking me to participate in this. Let's get back to some of the things that you're seeing out there with businesses. We talked about governance. People understand that if you're going to have cybersecurity, you've got to have if you've got a server, you've got to have the right kind of filters in there. You've got to have the right kind of mechanical, technical, software, hardware. You got to have those things.
You do.
But none of that is a good investment if the people in the organization don't function properly, is it?
I agree. If you don't have that governance and decide exactly what your standard and objective is around security,
mm-hmm.
you're right. It's not going to work.
Give us some other examples of what that might look like. We talked about the fact that you'd have policies
mm-hmm.
like making sure. You know, we talked about, you know, when do you decide who's going to be in charge of cybersecurity, and is that going to be, you know, does that person need training? Maybe they need some training. probably every person in the organization needs some cybersecurity training, don't they?
They do, but ultimately that person that is accountable to the organization and the management team is someone that would actually, I would think, establish the majority of the governance along with the management team
right.
for the overall organization.
And that would be some maybe policy manual, maybe it would be some memos telling people, maybe it would be, okay, there's some specific threat that's out there for everyone. Let's make sure we're keeping our eyes open for that.
Other things could be just establishing your inventory information assets, drawing up and maintaining a list of information assets, including software.
Or laptops.
Laptops.
If you're on the road with your laptop, kinds of things.
Databases. Screening key personnel.
Right.
Is very, very important.
Because you guys have found out that a lot of the cybercrime that happens comes from the inside, haven't you?
As a matter of fact, IT directors that have been interviewed feel that over 70% of cybercrime threats are internal.
Wow.
That's a high percentage.
And of that threat level, how much of it is intentional, how much of it is just accidental, maybe?
It could be both ways.
And the accidental is where the governance comes
absolutely.
In, the training and the policies. And to let people know, if you reach over and you're sweeping up in here and you unplug our server, we're out of business. Don't do that.
Absolutely.
Those kinds of things.
Absolutely.
It could be that simple.
It could be that simple. It's interesting because at IBM, there are within my small office, there are random checks. Just last week, I had a notice left on my desk saying that I had passed the security audit, meaning
right.
that I had all the proper documentation
right.
filed away, mm-hmm. Cabinets locked, et cetera. Practice an effective network management.
What does that mean?
It just means that it means really that many companies never document the correct procedures for operating their computer system.
So they can't replicate it, can they? They do it one time. If they don't make it so that they can replicate it, when they get a new person or a new piece of equipment, or they grow it to another level, they have to start from scratch, and that's not really very productive, is it?
Absolutely not. It also means that something like this could result in a system failure, loss
mm-hmm.
of data, breach of confidentiality.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Well, those are all good things, and these are things that obviously you can get help for, but basically, what you're reminding us about, Lisa, is that cybersecurity is like, in a lot of ways, it's like physical security. If we don't train people the importance of locking the doors, we don't train people how to turn the system on, the security system, whatever, if we don't let them know what's at risk, if we don't protect our property, and now more and more our property is not just machines and motors, it's megabytes and computers and things like that, if we don't explain that and let them understand that our assets that we leverage are not in those boxes, not just in those boxes. They're in those computers, on those hard drives. And some of it belongs to customers, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's a big impact not only to our organization and a big cost to us, but also our customers. We're talking about
right.
keeping customers' trust mm-hmm. and loyalty. It impacts us in a major way.
Right. Now, some of the folks who are going to talk today, we're going to meet somebody from the FBI.
We're going to meet someone from the FBI today, and
right.
we're also going to, one of our other guest speakers is an IBMer that is responsible for cyber security across the global
right.
IBM.
Right.
So he has a global responsibility.
Mm-hmm. And what is it, ethical hacking?
Ethical hacking.
Now, that's a contradiction in terms, if I ever heard it. Ethical hacking. I can't wait to find out more about that. We'll have to get him on the show one of these days. In 30 seconds, can you tell us what ethical hacking is?
Ethical hacking. I think I would have to almost defer. Can you help me out?
Lou's going to do it. We're going to get Lou to tell us in the
yeah,
next segment.
Yeah.
Lou's here, ready to go. Folks, I've got to take a quick break and get Lou in here. Lisa Moore with IBM, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Yeah, thank you very much.
It's been a privilege. I'm looking forward to working with you, and we're going to be right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Lou DeFalco is going to be with us, and among other things, he's going to tell us what ethical hacking is. That's like jumbo shrimp, isn't it? Stand by, folks. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Advanced.
Yo no soy marinero.
Prosperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.